Hey folks, this coming weekend, as you enter this long Labor Day weekend, I'm sure that there will be some that will do so with mixed emotions. I'm sure that if you're one of the kids that's school age, this is a kind of a depressing weekend coming up because Labor Day essentially marks the unofficial end of summer. It's getting close for time for the kids to go back to school. Now, some parents will sit back and say, I'll tell you one thing, I sure am glad because I need a little bit of a break and the kids will be back in school. But however you feel about it, Labor Day is designed to honor and to recognize those who work for a living, those who go out and diligently support families. But the question is, what does the Bible say about Labor Day? How can we honor God through our labor? Well, grab your Bible, come on back. In just a moment, we're going to be looking at some scripture passages and talking about honoring God through our labor. I'll see you in just a few minutes. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. Pray that all is going well with you and you're looking forward to having a little bit of a long and relaxing weekend. By the way, listen, if you happen to be traveling, don't miss out on church. Find you a place. If you're out of town and you're not near your church, find a place and go visit and be sure that you honor the Lord with your worship on Sunday. A little while ago, I mentioned the fact that, Labor Day kind of marks that end of summer, unofficially, of course. But what does the Bible talk about labor? When we sit there and we think about it, too often we get caught up in a rut. Now, we're actually going to be looking at some passages that are going to come out of the book of Colossians chapter 3. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. I want to highlight one verse that essentially would act like a theme to what we really want to talk about today. So Colossians chapter 3, and actually beginning with verse 22, says this. It says, "And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of your inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality." Now, I want to kind of highlight that particular verse. It says, "And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men." That's a very, very key verse. So let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin our time together today. Father, we want to come to you once again. We thank you for your word. We thank you for its guidance. Lord, we thank you for the opportunities that you give us. Father, today we praise you for the jobs that you have given us, the opportunity to be able to serve you on so many different levels, as well as provide for our families. Lord, help us to never take for granted the privilege and opportunity that you have given us to be able to work. Lord, not just for the sake of being able to provide here on earth, but Lord, to work for the sake of the kingdom. So Lord, we pray you'll bless our time that we will spend together today in your word. Use me as your messenger. Speak through me to your people today, as Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, folks, as we sit there and we think about our jobs, I hear people all the time. They'll talk about their job, and you can pretty much tell right up front how they feel about it. And you say, "Well, hey, what do you do for a living?" Somebody's going, "Oh, I work over here," or "I do this." And then there are times when people are very excited to talk about their job. But today we want to look at a biblical concept of the value of labor. Okay, see, folks, God has called us to work. Back in the early book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 15, God created humans to work and to cultivate the earth. And Jesus himself actually worked a job. He was a carpenter. Most of us know that. Even people who have not grown up in church all their lives, they'll talk about, "Oh, well, Jesus was a carpenter." So along his ministry, Jesus also himself performed work. Now, I've always said, you want to make sure that you have scriptural context for that. So Mark chapter 6, verse 3 talks about Jesus essentially working and serving as a carpenter, okay? So work is something that provides for our needs. Most of us know that because you sit back, and I've talked to folks before who said, "You know what, I don't like my job, and it wasn't for the fact that I had a house payment and a car payment, and I had to pay the bills and put food on the table and shoes on my feet, I wouldn't work this job." So folks, work does provide for our needs, but labor allows us to provide not only for ourselves, but also for our families. You know, it's interesting when we think about it. Why is it that we do what we do? I've talked to many, many folks before who just really go out there and they work extremely hard. And if you talk to them, you'll realize they'll tell you in a heartbeat, they're doing what they do for their family. They want their children to be able to have the very best that they can. And they want to be able to provide for them, maybe even things that they didn't have the opportunity to have as a child. We always want our children to have what is best and what is right. Now, there's a bunch of different sermons that could come out of that example alone. Sometimes that can be a really bad thing because we can set our children up for failure down the road. But obviously, you want what's best and what's right for your family, and it takes hard work to do that. Now, I want to say this. I admire that, but you've got to make sure that you keep it in perspective. So what does that perspective look like? Well, we'll talk about that in just a moment as we go forward. But remember, labor allows us to provide not only for ourselves, but also for our families. And God makes a promise that He is going to bless the work of our hands. Now, again, people sit back and say, well, where's that in the Bible? Well, that's in Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 10. But God makes that promise that He is the one who will bless the work of our hands. Now, work is a means of glorifying God. This is where people, I think, begin to really get things mixed up. They begin to separate their spirituality. They begin to separate the godliness, and they look at the Lord and spirituality as things over here, and then that their job is something that, you know, is in a completely different category. Well, folks, if you're looking at it that way, I want to encourage you to prayerfully consider combining those things, because work is truly a means of glorifying God. Now, I know some of you may be listening to this broadcast today, and you're going, what? How in the world can what I do, my job, my work, how is that something that can glorify God? And if you look at it and if you seek the Lord, the Holy Spirit will definitely tell you and find ways by which that you can acknowledge who God is, the talents and abilities that He's given you to be able to put to work for Him in your job on a daily basis. Now see, Paul encourages us to work heartily as if we were working for the Lord. That was the text. Remember what I said? I wanted to camp out for a moment on Colossians chapter 3, verse 25. Why is it that we do what we do? Let me carry you back there and read that to you one more time. Colossians chapter 3, actually verse 23 says this, and whatever you do, consider that. Now think about it for a moment. Whatever you do, that's not just your job. That is whatever you do, but it does include your job. So it says, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. So think about your job for a moment. When you go in, if you have to punch a time clock, whatever you may do, when you get there, do you say, today I am working for the Lord. I am going to do my job to the honor and the glory of the Father. I want to represent Him well. I want to be able to have this opportunity with the people that I come in contact with for them to know that today I am working for God Almighty. Now, it's hilarious because some of you probably just laughed out loud. You're like, that's not the attitude that I go in with. If it's not, I want to encourage you to look at it that way. Not because it's what I say, but it's because what the Lord says. It says, and whatever you do, whatever your job may be, and including the things that are in the peripheral of your job, but whatever you do, do it heartily. You know what that means? That means do it without complaining. That means do your job to the best of your ability with a thought and with a purpose in heart and in mind that comes through in what you do. Do the very, very best that you can do. I always grew up with the adage that if a job is worth doing, it is worth doing well. Do the very, very best that you can do at your job. And remember, you're not doing it for you. You're not doing it for that boss that you may not get along with, but you are doing it for the honor and the glory of God. Some of you may have a boss that just gets on your nerves, that drives you crazy. Maybe you have thought at times about, I'm quitting, I just can't put up with this anymore. Just go in with the attitude that the job that you're doing is not for them. The job that you're doing is for the Lord, and you want to be able to honor and glorify Him. Now remember, Paul is encouraging us to work with all of our heart, work heartily as if we were working for the Lord, because we are. If you need to, write that passage down. Put it on a card. Put it on a sticky note. Put it on your bathroom mirror. Put it on the dashboard of your car. Put it on your desk as a constant reminder of why you are doing what you're doing. You see, our work can be an expression of worship to God Almighty. Now, for the sake of time, I'm not going to quote this, but I want you to jot this down. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. And think about this. Our work can be an expression of our worship to God. And I know we have different challenges along the way. So let's think about that for a moment. What are the challenges that we have of labor? Well, you know, it talks about, you know, toil and struggles. I mean, we have to work hard. As a result of the fall of man back in the Garden of Eden, work can be something that can become very difficult and it can become very exhausting. You'll find that text in Genesis chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. You know, if you've ever worked outside, I tell people all the time, I said I grew up in the country. I grew up in southern West Virginia. I baled hay. I've had to do that hard work out in the fields with my boss. I remember one time our boss kind of subcontracted us out to his dad, who was a big landowner, and one day there were a bunch of crews working. We put up 10,000 bales of hay. That's work. That's toil. We didn't get to knock off for lunch. You didn't have McDonald's and whatnot around there. The lunch was brought to you. But by the way, those were really, really good days. Days that I miss. But nonetheless, you're going to have to toil and you're going to struggle with that work. You know, you may face challenges. Some of y'all are going, you think? Yeah, your job, there are going to be challenges. There are going to be obstacles and there are even going to be failures along the way in our work. Now, the question is, what is it that we have learned from the failures that we have experienced in our work? Once again, if you're taking notes, jot down Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 22 and 23 that address those things. Yeah, I mean, you know, there are going to be times that you are going to fail. Nobody is perfect all the time. The question is, what are you going to learn from those failures? What are you going to be able to take away from them? Are they something that are going to be constructive in your life, or are they going to be destructive in your life? You know, when you go out and work, I know that there are people that are probably going to watch this broadcast that have dealt with the unfairness and the injustice of where you work. You know, some of you face unfair wages. You don't understand why these other people make more money than you do. There are times that you have had to face discrimination for whatever reason or wherever it may have been. And although, you know, your employer said, well, we don't discriminate. They even use that word based on a whole bunch of different things, you know, color, religion, any of those sort of things. But yet, you know, you've been discriminated against. Or you have even been at times exploited in your work. Those are things that are going to happen. How is it that you deal with them? What is your attitude? And that is huge. Folks, we may struggle with a work-life balance and feeling overwhelmed at times. I know people who do that. You know, people who have come and they've said, well, you know, Pastor, part of the problem is it seems like all I ever get to do is work anymore. I don't get to spend any time at home. You have got to be able to balance that work-life situation. Remember, you're going out and you're working to honor God and to support your family. But it's like that old expression says, you need to go out and work to live. You don't need to live to work. Now, I also want to insert something right here at this point. Jesus Christ never, ever condoned laziness. In fact, he spoke out against that. So I'm not sitting back saying that you go out and quit your job today, but you've got to look for that balance along the way. And folks, along the way, you know, when you're working, there is pressure to find worth in our work. I have seen so many people who that is where their self-worth comes from. Their worth is identified within their job. And the problem with that is that society may place emphasis on success, that society places emphasis on achievement, society places emphasis on material gain all through our work. So I've known people in my life, know them to this very day, that their whole being and who they are is tied up into their work. If you take their job away from them, then you have essentially taken all of what they consider to be their self-worth away from them. That is a completely wrong attitude. Listen, society wants you to think that. we have to be careful with our children. We got to be careful that we don't fall into those societal pressures that we put on our children when they graduate from school, or when they head off to college, or even when they get into their life, that their job is a means of being able to honor God and support themselves and their families, not who they are. Think about that for a minute. Remember what I said, maybe you're caught up in that right now. Maybe you're putting that pressure on you. I know society's putting it on you, because society defines success differently than the way the Word of God does. Society does put the emphasis on success. In other words, you're not anything in your job unless you're successful at it. You know, unless you have achieved great marks, then you're nothing. And unless you have material gain that the whole world can see, then you're not. That's what society tells you. But folks, that's not how God defines success. God defines success as faithfulness and obedience to His Word. Okay? It is easy for folks to find their identity and worth in what they do rather than who they are in Christ. Let me repeat that once again. It is easy in this society, the way it's set up, very easy to find our identity and our worth in what we do rather than who we are in Christ. So do you have that correct? There's an old expression I grew up with that sometimes we can get the cart before the horse. Have you got the cart before the horse when it comes down to that? You know, is your identity found within your work or in your job, or is your identity found in the Christ who gave His life and picked it back up that we might have eternal life? Remember, it's not about what you do, but it's who you are in Christ. I really want to encourage that particular point today, because I think that's one of the main thrusts. Too many times our identity gets wrapped up in what the earthly people define as success, rather than who we are. It's like, okay, well, you're the head of a big business, you're the head of a corporation, you've got money, you've got cars, you've got big houses, you got all these things. You can have all those things, folks, and still be the biggest failure that there ever was if you don't put your life in the hands of Christ Jesus. And see, when you do, then the perspective can become very clear to you. That's not saying that Christians don't get this out of whack. I know Christians that get this out of whack every day. And sometimes they have to be reminded, even when they know. It's very easy to slip back into what the world defines as success rather than what the Father decides is success. Okay? So what is our response to labor? What is our response? What should it be to our job? Well, first of all, it should be gratitude. We should be grateful that we're given the opportunity to work and to provide for ourselves and for our families and for other people. We really should be thanking God every day that He gave us the job that we have. I mean, I know people who have searched and searched and searched and they can't find a job. I've seen people that have been just so down on themselves and desperate because they cannot provide for their families. And listen, if you've got a job, you need to thank God every day that He allows you to get up and go to that workplace or wherever it may be, and to be able to provide for yourself and for your family, and in a large case, better than most of the people in this world. You know, sometimes people sit back and look and they say, well, I'm not a wealthy person or whatever. When you compare yourself to the world, every American is wealthier. If you piled everybody in the world together, you would be considered wealthy, even if you consider yourself lower class in America today, based on the rest of the world's standards. Most of us aren't living in some sort of a grass hut that we build. Most of us have food on the table, food in the cabinets. But what happens is we get accustomed to where we are. How many times have you walked in the house and said, there's not a thing in this house to eat, yet the refrigerator's full, the pantry's full? It's not that you didn't have anything to eat. It's just that you didn't want what you had to eat. There's a difference between not having anything and not wanting what you have. So we need to be grateful that God gives us the opportunity to work and to provide for our families, as well as being able to worship Him through that work. We need to thank God for the specific skills and abilities that He has given us to do our work. You know, I sit back and I think and I look around and see all the people that are around me, and we all do different things. You know, all of us aren't doctors. All of us aren't attorneys. All of us aren't business people. All of us aren't pastors. All of us have different things and different skill sets that the Father has given us by which we can serve Him. And all of us functioning together create the society in which we live in. We need to be thankful to God. Listen, if you are a plumber and God has given you the skills to do that, you need to thank Him and you need to use that for His honor and for His glory. If God has given you the ability to become a doctor and be able to serve Him and to help bring healing in the lives of other people, you need to thank Him. If you have the skill of being able to drive and you can use that and that's how you support your family, you need to thank God for that. God didn't call us all to be one cookie cutter kind of person. He designed us all to be different. He's given us different skills and abilities, but He's given them to us so that we can come together for His honor, for His glory, not only to support our families, but that society may be able to go forward as well. Okay? Think about that. So we need to be thanking God for the specific skill set that He has given us personally. And then we also need to be faithful. You know, when you think about faithfulness, see, we are called to work with integrity, and we are called to work with diligence as unto the Lord. We talked about that in our, I would call it the thesis statement of thesis text today, is that all that we should do, what does it say? Whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not to men. Okay? So we're called to be faithful. We're called to work and to do it with integrity and diligence as unto the Lord. And even when our work is challenging, and even when our work is unfulfilling, we need to choose to honor God through our attitude and our efforts. Ooh, think about that for a minute. That's hard to do. Now, I want to hit Colossians chapter 3, 17 for just a minute that says this. Colossians 3, 17 says, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." That verse kind of stings when we have a bad attitude at work, doesn't it? You know, when work is challenging, when our coworkers are challenging, or when we walk away and we don't feel like we've accomplished anything, we just feel so unfulfilled. You need to choose to honor God through your attitude and your efforts. If you need to, that's another verse that needs to go on your sticky note or your 3.5 by 5 card. You need to put it on your desk, on the dashboard, wherever it may be, the bathroom mirror. Let me read it to you once again. It's Colossians 3:17 that says simply this, "And whatever," did you get that? "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." So even when you don't want to, even when it's a bad day, even when everybody is just taxing your last nerve, you need to be able to do these things for the honor and the glory of God. Even when you sit back and say, you know, is this making any difference? God has given you the job. He's given you the willful opportunity to be able to serve Him through it. And you may never know on this side of glory the things that you've done and the difference that it's made in the hearts and lives of very often people that we don't even see or know about. So we need to have that good attitude. And when we do have that good attitude, we can trust and rest in God. I love the fact that during creation, it says that on the seventh day, the Lord rested. It wasn't because God needed a nap. It wasn't because He was tired. But He did that you and I may have the example by which to rest and to rest in Him. Yeah, notice we've got Labor Day weekend coming up. A lot of you are going to be off on Monday. Some of you will get Friday off. However it's done, you get that long weekend. Well, take advantage of that and be able to just wrestle and do some things with your family and spend that time realizing that you're getting a tip of the hat from the government to say, we appreciate the job that you do. So we need to trust and rest in God. We can trust in that God is going to provide all of our needs. His word gives us that promise. He said, "I am going to take care of you." Yeah, He's going to take care of our needs, and we don't need to find our worth in our work. I can't say that enough. That's one of the things I want you to get today. Our worth is not in our work. Our worth is in the Master in whom we follow. I love what Matthew's Gospel chapter 6, particularly verses 31 and 33 tell us. The Lord says, "I'm going to take care of all your needs." He said, "The birds don't go out and plant fields. they don't go out in harvest season and put up in barns so that they'll have food over the wintertime. You'll see them around, and like I said, those birds aren't missing any meals when everything is dead through the winter. There's food. God provides for them. And he says this. He says, if I provide for those birds, how much more will I provide for you, my children, whom I love dearly? You can trust that God is going to provide for your needs. And listen, don't find your worth in your work, but find your worth in Christ. We should remember to rest and find our true rest in Christ and not within that work. Okay? On this Labor Day that's coming up, let us remember that our work is not just a means to earning a living, but it's an opportunity to honor God and to serve others. Whether we're facing challenges or experiencing success, you know, we always need to remember that our identity and worth is found in Christ and not in our work. Doesn't matter if you're the most successful president of the company or whatever, is your identity found in Christ? It should be, okay? As we go back to work, you know, after the holiday weekend that's coming up, let us strive to approach our work with gratitude, with faithfulness, and with trust in God, and let us honor God through our labor, knowing that ultimately our labor does have an eternal significance when done for God's glory. So think about that for a minute. I know that some of you today are having trouble wrapping your head around that, and you're like, my job is really for the honor and the glory of God? Yes, it is. When your identity is found in Him, He's got something big that He wants to do along the way, and He wants to do it maybe for somebody else through you. Maybe He wants to do it specifically for you. So we're going to pray that God helps us along the way with our attitude. Let me go ahead and tell you what we're going to be looking at this week as far as our scripture readings. We're going to be actually looking at the book of Philippians chapter 3. So that's what I want you to spend a little time in this week, Philippians chapter 3. And next week, we're going to discuss dual citizenship out of that book of Philippians chapter 3. We'll look forward to having you here with us. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we close our time in God's Word today. Father, we come to you now thanking you and praising you for the fact that you provide for us. Lord, I pray and thank you for the jobs that you have given each and every one of us. Lord, we are truly, as your Word calls us, fearfully and wonderfully made. And you want us to do everything that we do, not just some things, but all things that we do, you want us to do them for your honor, for your glory, that others may see you in us, and Lord, that we might be able to provide for our families. Help us to have the right biblical perspective of our jobs. Lord, as we go through this Labor Day weekend and we will enjoy that little bit of time off and that rest, and we'll gather around our family, I pray that as we go into work following this holiday, that we'll do so with a new vim, vigor, and vitality, with a new lease on our job, being thankful that you've given it to us, and then helping us to have the proper perspective in how we can honor and worship you through the work that you have given us and allowed us to do. Lord, we thank you for your provision in a way that so many times we don't even see around us. So Lord, help us to magnify you in all that we do. And Lord, we do pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey folks, listen, I want to thank you again for taking this time to join us here for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. If you don't have a church home, you happen to be in our area, we would love for you to come and visit with us. We're located at 1715 Highway 68 North. We're right across the street from the Oak Ridge Military Academy. Our services start at 10:45, and we do have other areas of discipleship with Sunday school, small groups that you can become a part of. But listen, if you drop in, be sure to introduce yourself to me. I'm Pastor Roy. We would love to be able to share that worship together as we worship our Father in spirit and in truth. I pray that you have a great, great week and that God's going to do some incredible things in and through your life this week. I hope to see you Sunday. God bless.